If you'll turn to 2 Timothy, we'll be brief this evening. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we'll start in verse 14 tonight. I preached out of 2 Timothy 4 this morning, so I guess we're stuck in the Timothys today. Just want to preach where God led me to. And we're going to begin in verse 14, and if you'd like to just read along as in your Bibles as I read to you. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, want to get kind of rolling right into things here. In verse 14, Paul is talking to his preacher boy in the faith, and he says, "Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself of these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." And tonight I just want to talk to you about being a vessel unto honor. We're going to go back to verse 20 here, but think about the house of the Lord. Think about this place where we are tonight with the people of God that are gathered here. And it says, "But in a great house." I consider God's house a great house, wouldn't you? To me, it's the greatest. Okay, I would really rather not be anywhere else. Okay, and if you don't believe that, then I guess I'm not convincing enough. I'd really rather be here than anywhere else. In God's house with God's people, it's a great house. This, of course, is speaking of the size of it, but I want to speak of the quality. It's a great house. A great house. It says there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth. Let me first focus on these different vessels. And I think you're like me, most people in here probably. I don't know. Maybe you have a keepsake that you have from an antique from a grandmother or a grandfather or a loved one. But I personally don't have any vessels of gold. Okay. Just not in my portfolio, okay? Okay, in my house, we don't have any vessels of gold. So I did the best I could. One of the wedding gifts that we were given was some Romanian china. Isn't that nice? And it has a real gold rim. So this is my vessel of gold tonight, okay? And so some vessels are vessels of gold. And you think, whoa, those are the special ones. Those are the, gold, right? Everybody okay with gold, right? Okay. Who wants a little more of it? Okay. There we go. Now we got your attention. Okay. And so we have the beautiful vessels of gold, and those have a purpose in the great house of our Lord. And of course, I also am not wealthy enough to have any vessels of silver. But again, a gift. Actually, for my grandparents, which passed away the last 2 years ago, and then this past year, my mom's parents, they gave us this china that they bought when they were first married. This actually has a silver rim around it. So this is my vessel of silver. Okay, so again, the best I could do. But these vessels, they're beautiful vessels. They're useful vessels, right? And they're vessels of gold and vessels of silver. But can I tell you something? In a great house, you can't just have vessels of gold and vessels of silver, and that's all you have. You know, vessels of different types have different uses. They have different functions in the home. Well, we have also, it's mentioned, vessels of wood. And somehow, very coincidentally, this one is also from Romania. I don't know, I guess it has something about Romania. I'm not sure. I've never been there, but it's great. I'd like to go someday, maybe. But here we have a vessel of wood. Okay, it also has a use and a purpose. It's beautiful in its own right, right? But you probably wouldn't compare it to a vessel of gold or a vessel of silver, but it's still a very useful and important vessel in the great house. And we have a vessel of wood. Well, it says that there are also vessels of earth. You say, what in the world and how in the world can a vessel of earth, just a clay pot, and here's a nice little candle holder, it's made of clay. You say, how can that compare in beauty or in usefulness in the house of the great God? But you know what? They're all vessels. And they all have a purpose. And they all have a use. You know, in our lives and in God's great house, in this church auditorium tonight, can I tell you there are vessels of gold? There are. Can I tell you there are vessels of silver? And there are vessels of wood. And there are vessels of earth in this tabernacle, in this house of God. They're all wonderful. They're all part of God's house, hold. And they're usable for His service. You know, this message tonight is not about whether you're a vessel of gold or a vessel of silver, a vessel of wood or a vessel of earth. Because I look around and I know, I don't know which one you are yet, but I'll find out. But you know what? It doesn't mean that you're more or less valuable to God because of which one you are. Because each one has their purpose. Each one has their place. And that's great. Because if you're a wooden vessel, you ought to be the best wooden vessel you can be for the Lord. And if you're an earthen vessel, you ought to be the best one, or a gold vessel, or a silver vessel. He says, some are to honor and some to dishonor. That's where we want to focus. Because I could take this beautiful bowl that has a ring of gold around it, and I could soil it with some of the most disgusting things, and you wouldn't want to use it, would you? He said, but it's a vessel of gold. It's more valuable. Yeah, but it's spoiled. It's soiled. It's not good for anything. Or I could smash it on the ground, right? And it'd be broken in a bunch of pieces. And it still wouldn't be good for anything. You say, how do you smash gold? Well, we understand, okay? But do you see what I'm saying? Or let's say, how many of you have ever been in your house? And you said, hey, honey, where's that dish? I want to use this thing and... where'd you put it? I don't know. Where is it? Can't find it? Well, if you can't find it, can't use it, can you? You see where I'm going with this? We have vessels in the great house of our great God. But they need to be vessels unto honor. So in order to go through this, and like I said, I'll work quickly tonight. Go to Romans chapter 8. And let's learn what makes a vessel unto honor, or a vessel unto dishonor. We'll start with the unpleasant, because if you know, you're always taught if you didn't like something, you should eat it first, right? And get it off your plate. And you say, but I just won't eat it. Well, in my house, my own personal house, that's not an option. If I put it in front of you, you're going to eat it. So that's just the kind of guy I am. You're a cruel father. Yes, I know. Okay. They got a lot of support there. Amen. All right. Well, that's okay. It's worked for my kids. Are you all damaged, retarded, or anything wrong with you? Okay. No. Okay. You're all right. Okay. He says, there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now listen to this. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Skip down to verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So I could go many places tonight, and I could really dive into a lot of things, but let's just keep it simple, okay? That's one of my mottos, all right? KISS, keep it simple, stupid. I like to keep things simple. Let's keep it on bottom shelf. A vessel of dishonor is one that is in the flesh. Just simple. In the simplest of all forms. It says, so that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Simple as that. Anybody believe that the Bible's true? I do. Okay? So let's just, what does it say? In the flesh, vessel of dishonor. In the flesh, cannot please God. What are these vessels designed to do? They're designed to please the one who owns them. Who has the ability to use them and utilize them for service. Isn't he our master? Isn't he the one that owns us? Doesn't the Bible say that? Know ye not that ye are bought with a price? Ye are not your own. Hey, listen, if you're saved tonight, if you're born again, you don't belong to you. You don't. You're his. And you're his vessel. And if you're in the flesh, you cannot please your master. Now, we need to define some of these things. Go over to Galatians chapter 5. You can continue to read in Romans 8 and you'll find out some of these things as well. But just for sake of clear definitions, let's find out what the works of the flesh are. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. Or verse 16 rather. We'll get to verse 22 in a minute. Verse 16 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." That's good advice. Okay, we're going to get to that in just a little bit. Because if you're doing one thing, you can't do the other thing that's opposite of the one thing that you're doing. Y'all like that, right? Okay. If I can fuzz you, I'll catch up with you later. Verse 17 says, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." See this? You can't have it both ways. Again, we have that word cannot again, right? Anybody certain about that? I am. It's either one or the other, friends. It's not both. Okay, you can't make a flesh-spirit sandwich and live in it and be all happy. And it doesn't do it. It just says, can't do it. They're diametrically opposed. Okay, we're not doing that. We cannot do that. It says now, look at verse 19. "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these." Definitions. Don't you love Bible definitions? Hey, God's not trying to trick you. He loves you. He wants you to go in the right direction. He wants you to be led down this path. I believe that when we were saved, he gave us something called the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of truth, which shall guide you into all truth. He's not trying to play hide and seek from you. He's not trying to keep these things from you. He wants you to know. Don't you love clear definitions? Man, one of the things I've tried to do as a Christian school principal over the years
is I'm just trying to get these kids to do what I tell them to do. I say, stand up, stand up. Sit down, sit down. Pick up that pencil, pick up the pencil. Pick up the paper, pick up the paper. Put this here, put this here. I don't want them to do anything else. Just do what I say. And I have a pretty good handle on the English language. I'm speaking clear English, but yet they still don't seem to do the things that I ask. They do something else. Like, I didn't ask you to do that. Well, I thought you wanted me to. I don't want you to think. I want you to do. Oh, yes. But aren't we in the same boat? Hey, God gives us clear definition. Here we are. Definitions. Adultery. Fornication. Uncleanness. Lasciviousness. Let's just lump all those together for sake of time. Those are all your sexual type sins. The lust type things. He says, works of the flesh. Vessel of dishonor. All right? Idolatry. You know what? I'm going to take a lot of time here. You say, I don't worship little wooden statues of things or this or that. No. You want to know what the number one idol of Christians today is? Look in the mirror. It's yourself. Yourself. You are your number one fan. Yeah. That's the one we have the most trouble with. Yeah. We love our mama's son or daughter, right? We love me, myself, and I, our three favorite people. We all have that problem, don't we? But listen, idolatry. You say, but I don't worship myself. Oh, yeah? What do you spend your time, your money on? Me! Oh, we all do. Probably a little too much. Idolatry. Now, witchcraft, I don't think we have any trouble with that in here, perhaps. But maybe you do. Hatred. Variance. Emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Okay, hey, it's a list. What more do you want? Don't do these things. Huh, okay. All right, read the sign. Do not enter. No! Vessels of dishonor. Is your vessel dirty? Or you might be a vessel of gold for a purpose in the master's house, but maybe tarnished, dented, dirty, full of things we ought not to be. Same with the vessel of wood or the vessel of earth or the vessel of silver, a vessel of dishonor. These things should not be. So what did Paul say? Hey, not a vessel of dishonor, but a vessel unto honor is what we should strive for. Now we know some definitions, we know what to avoid. What is 1 John 1:9 in the Bible for? It's not for salvation again. For if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to what? Cleanse us. You know, from time to time, these vessels just pick up some dust, some dirt. And if they're handled by children, some fingerprints and smudges, right? My daughter today, we were driving in the van up here, and she's like, hey, Daddy, when I blow on the window, I can put my fingerprint on there. I said, yeah, you can. I said, you know the only problem with that? Now you got to clean the window. Oh, yes. But we need to be cleansed. Vessels of gold need to be cleansed. Need to be taken care of. Vessels of wood, likewise, need to be cared for and cleaned. Vessels of earth, vessels of silver. These vessels, they need to be cared for. They need to be cleansed. They need to be a vessel of honor. How do we become a vessel of honor? We're still here in Galatians chapter 5. Remember what he said in verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Shall not. Okay? Don't you love the word shall? I love the word shall. Huh? It's one of the strongest words you can use to say, yes, it is. shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Isn't that your desire? Well, listen, the devil gets us every once in a while, doesn't he? He's sneaky. He's not the master deceiver for nothing. All right? If you're the master of something, you're the master of something. He's good at it. But you know what? We do have a say-so in whether or not we yield to temptation. Whether or not we yield to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. We have a choice. We have a choice to be a vessel unto honor or a vessel unto dishonor. We can walk in the Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit. We are able to, if you will. Let's continue to read in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, oh, here it is. We already know what the vessel of dishonor is full of and succumb to tainted with burdened with. But now what does the vessel unto honor look like? If we walk in the Spirit, that's the kind of vessel, the vessel unto honor that we should be. It's love. Love. I may have said this here. I say it a lot of places. In any church, in anywhere in this book, it doesn't say that you have to like the brethren. And you may not like everybody. You may not like me. Okay? That's okay. Not all people get along. You understand that? All right. I've got a little brother. We don't get along very well. But you know what? I love my brother. Did you know you can love someone you don't like? Ah, yes, you can. Because love is a choice. Right? Well, so is liking too, right? But you understand? You can love someone and not like them. You really can. Because what it transcends, doesn't it? It goes beyond. Do you think God likes us all the time? If I were God, I wouldn't, right? But does He love us all the time? Does it ever stop? Ever ceasing? No, it's not. Hey, listen. We're supposed to love. How about joy? You say, but I'm not always happy. It didn't say happy. It says joy. You know, joy is one of those unconditional things too. Yeah, it is. You know, you can have joy and still not be happy. But you know what? Joy supersedes happiness. The joy of our salvation. The joy of our life in Jesus Christ. How about peace? Peace. You know, I haven't had any trouble with this process in our life. You say, Brother Combs, man, this is a lot for you and for your family. Not really. You say, how can you be so cavalier about it? I'm not. I'm not cavalier. I'm just at peace. I'm not bothered by it. It's working for me. Okay? It's okay. Because my life is in His hands. And what He wants to do with it is fine with me. I mean, if God wanted to move me to Africa, I'd go there. But He didn't. He chose to move me 48 miles to Wiley, Texas. All right? That's where we are. I'm glad I'm still in Texas. I like Texas. I was born and raised in North Dakota, and I like North Dakota too, but I like Texas. I like living here. Except for the heat. We can do something about that. We could do better. But we'll work on it. We'll keep praying, right? You guys, how many of you thought it was cold tonight? Not cold, okay? I'll tell you about cold. But listen, love, joy, peace, long suffering. Oh my. We're so short with our patience, aren't we? We are. I've learned this lesson many times over. Our God is long-suffering. Our God has put up with a lot from our lives. Couldn't we extend that to someone else? We could. He says long-suffering, gentleness. I'm working on that one. Gentleness. One of the things we teach our younger children when it comes to the even younger ones, you know, gentle, be gentle. Right now, Della's in our little 9-month-old. She's in a slapping stage. You know, she looks at you and she's like, gentle, gentle. Or she grab hold of your face, you know, like, nails. It's fun. But listen, we have to teach them, right? Gentleness. We need to be taught gentleness as God's children. Goodness. Just good old-fashioned goodness. Faith. Need to grow your faith? Need to exercise your faith a little? He says meekness. You know, meekness is not weakness. It's strength under control. We need to control our power and strength in the life that God has given us. Temperance. Temperance. How about we just summarize temperance as a balance to life? A balance to life. Hey, if a vessel contains these things, how are we looking? A vessel unto honor. If a vessel contains the other things that we read in verse 17 and verses 18 and 19 and 20 and 21, I don't think I want that vessel. I don't think I want to use that one. I don't think I want to be a part of that one. But this other one's looking good. The vessel unto honor. Let's close with this in 1 John chapter 1, just a few more pages over. Church, I am so looking forward to what God will do. I hope you're looking forward to what God will do. This is about Him, isn't it? It's not about Brother Raspberry. It's not about Brother Combs. I'll just tell you that. We're not looking for anything special, are we, Doc? We just want to serve our Lord. And we want to see His church be magnified in His sight. But you know what? These vessels of honor need to be cleansed and filled. We understand. I read to you verse 9 already, but I want to start in verse 5. It says, This then is the message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. Hey, John's not pulling any punches here, is he? Pretty pointed. That's okay. Pointed is necessary sometimes. How many of you have tried to clean something made of gold or something made of silver? That tarnish is on there pretty thick. Takes a little elbow grease to get it off, right? That's a little punchy, isn't it? Takes a little effort. That's all right. It's all right. It's not meant to hurt us, is it? The chastening hand of God is meant to keep us right. To put us in the right direction. To mold us and shape us. The Holy Spirit of God that's within us, He wants control of your life if you'll give it to Him. And can I tell you something? There's no one else I'd rather have control of my life than Him. Because He knows what to do with it. I don't have a clue. Do you? We sing the song, right? My life, Lord, is Yours to control. Is it? Is it? Are we a vessel unto honor that He can just pick up at any time and say, hey, I want to use this one. Oh, look, it's clean, ready to go. Let's put something in it. Let's use it for my use and my purpose, what I have. Oh, look at this one here. Oh, ooh, can't use that one. Put the cover back on. You understand? He wants us to be available and ready and filled. One of those, I think, is a sugar bowl. It'd be nice if it had some sugar in it. Because that's what a sugar bowl is supposed to do, hold sugar. I don't want a sugar bowl with salt in it. You? Put that in your coffee. Ugh. I don't put sugar in my coffee anyways, but either way. Hey, listen. Are you cleansed? Are you filled? Are you a vessel unto honor or a vessel unto dishonor? God wants to use you. I want to be used of God. But let me tell you something. If I don't live my life the way that God says I should by walking in the Spirit, I'm not going to be any kind of a good pastor for this church or God's glory. But can I say to you also, you can't be any kind of a good church member if you're that same way. I don't know everybody here. I'm not here to judge anyone. I'm a part of this family now. You're my family, whether you like it or not. I could be the ugly, you know, stepchild or whatever you want to call me. That's fine. The black sheep that nobody likes. No, I don't think so. But listen, we're part of God's family. We have a purpose. In God's house, there's many vessels. Vessels of gold, vessels of silver, vessels of wood, vessels of earth. But don't forget, there are some to honor and some to dishonor. I think you know what I'm pointing at. Let me just read to you very quickly just a few verses from Ephesians 5. He says, "Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor." How is it for you when you go to your cupboard and you grab a vessel to use and it's ready to be used? You're pleased, aren't you? Now, I don't know, maybe y'all's kids are better dishwashers than mine. But I'll go to the cupboard and I'll find a vessel of dishonor. Hold it up to the light. What is that? Dirty. Back in the sink. And guess what? As a father, I'm not pleased. I want to use that vessel. I wanted a drink of water. And I couldn't have one. I had to get another one. And one night, I think I got one, and I got two, and I got three, and I was getting angry. Okay, please! I got one, finally. Hallelujah. Amen? No, but listen. How many times does God have to do that? Reaching into the cupboard of this church. I hope he finds vessels of honor. I want to be a vessel of honor. And listen. Just like those cups in your cupboard, it's a daily thing. How many of you have a shelf or a curio cabinet or a baker's rack or something you store nice dishes on, right? Do they stay clean? No. They get dirty, right? Dust on them. Just, right? Blow it off. Go on. No, you wash it, cleanse it, clean it. That's what God has to do with us sometimes. Church, I'm so excited to be here. I really am. And I want God to use me, and I want God to use you. And I want God to use Brother and Mrs. Raspberry and their family in the work that he's called them to do. And you know what? We hope that God gets the glory from all of it.